Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 159. Sports Grid Radio Networks. Lightning win 4-1 tonight. Lightning strike. Lightning strikes this evening, but they're going back to Madison Square Garden, where the Rangers have been dominant at home. That is on Thursday night. So basically, actually, the rest of the week is pretty much set. Sets up pretty nicely, actually. You know, the way it hasn't worked out perfectly every night, but so basically we've got NBA Finals tomorrow night, Stanley Cup playoffs, back to MSG on Thursday night, NBA Finals on Friday night. They're shockingly playing two days in, and they're playing Wednesday and Friday, shockingly, and then they're off till Monday in the NBA, but they will have we'll have NHL on Saturday as well. Right, so basically Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're locked and loaded, ready to go. CFL football kicks off on Thursday night as well, which I am a big fan of. Although I have to be careful, we can't let our ego get in our way, which I've done in the past with this league. I haven't done it in a little while. It's probably about seven, 8 years ago. In that range. I would like to say 10, but it was probably about, in that range. But, man, it was bad. It was one of those, I went big on CFL games all the time, like 2,000, 3,000. And there's only 4 games a week. So if things don't go your way, and there's not a lot of other stuff, so it's the summertime, so I was really hitting this league hard, and man, like the CFL can be great if you got to get into a rhythm a little bit. So where I'm going with this, I'm really fired up for the CFL, and the caliber of the CFL is much better than a USFL. So if you're watching the USFL and you enjoy betting on a USFL and watching that, then the CFL is it's a million times better than the CFL is a million times better than what the USFL is, but it does, it doesn't mean we need to disrupt what we're doing with the USFL right now, because I don't care about what your caliber is. I just care about making, can I win in your, is your league getting predictable? And the USFL is, it's almost tough again, because we're going to have the playoffs around the corner, and, it's going to be good teams against good teams. But we've been doing very well with the USFL for about 3 weeks in a row now. There were a couple of weeks where I didn't put enough work into it, and, I got caught up in the NBA stuff, and we did okay at the beginning, but I think, in hindsight, looking back, I can't be, We've hit the USFL pretty good. It's been very profitable for us this league. So the CFL, I'm just saying, even though I'm all excited, I'm not going to start going crazy and putting, I'm full of it. I'm going to put big, What am I saying? The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The Halos fired Joe Madden. Phil Nevin takes over on an interim basis. Looks like the Angels had a little bit of energy in this baseball game, but I guess it's Madden's fault that they lost tonight, right? Boston comes back and wins. And, of course, we gave it to Boston Red Sox to make the playoffs a couple of nights ago, and they haven't lost since. That's a good thing. And that number continues to drop. We'll get into the Madden stuff a little bit. Coming up, we've got we got Larry Beal joining us from the Bay Area, ABC, Channel 7 Sports. We'll throw it down with us. We'll talk NBA finals. We've got college football win totals. We'll go over team by team again. Listen, love them, hate them, despise them, whatever you think about them. The USC Trojans schedule this year, it's pretty favorable. And when I say favorable, soft. All right, soft. Yeah, there's no reason. This team might only lose one football game this year in the regular season. So we'll get into the college football win totals, get into the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning get it done. Major League Baseball, another wild night on a diamond this evening, specifically in Anaheim tonight as they fired Joe Maddon earlier in the day. And I guess some people were calling for this. I didn't see it coming. You know, a couple of our guests brought it up over the last couple of days. I asked people, would they really, you know what I mean? And, you know, the answer is yes. But it's interesting that there are stories coming out now as to, like, why he got fired. And why he got fired is because they were losing. And Artie Moreno just panicked and they just lost again anyways. Listen, man, the Angels were overachieving to start the year as it was. Rendon was hurt. Ward was hurt. The starting pitching that was so good suddenly wasn't during the losing streak.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Their ERA is like, you know, over 6. Basically blame me, because the night we had Trent Rush on, I don't think they've won a game since. It's up to 13 right now, but at least we're making money off of it as we took the Boston Red Sox tonight. Buster Olney's reporting that it was been long time simmering, but I don't know, no one said that before. And they're bringing up the fact that he walked in a run earlier in the year. It's like, yeah, whatever, bro. You hire a maestro, don't it? You know, it is what it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
It's level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We'll get back to the NBA Finals. We'll send it to the Bay Area. Larry Beal will join us a little bit later on. So Joe Maddon relieved of his duties. The 12-game losing streak was a little bit too much for Artie Moreno to deal with. And listen, I always say this, and I do mean it. And I think I'm the only person that's logical enough. Maybe it's because I watch a lot of old school Star Trek. It's the Spock in me. But two things can be right at the same point in time. In that, are the Angels going to be better now without Joe Maddon as their manager? I don't think so. Like, I don't think it's like, oh yeah, he was the reason. You know what I mean? That they had the problem. But at the same point in time, it doesn't mean that the Angels didn't feel as if though that, you know what, we've got to fire this guy, or I'm tired of this guy, right? There's a difference. Listen, Artie Moreno is, you know, he has been an aggressive owner in the past. He's been more aggressive recently once again. You have to understand his frustration, wondering, how is it that I have Ohtani? How is it that I have Trout? And then on top of it, you know what I mean, you want me to spend money. We spent like, you know, $56 million on our bullpen and this and that. And like, he's done a lot. I can see his frustration. And another thing is too, a team that has lost 12 games in a row before has never made the playoffs. So I think that probably freaked them out a little bit. The longest was 11, the Dodgers in 2017. I remember that. Like, didn't they lost more to 11? Didn't the Dodgers, weren't they like the first team ever to have like a 13-game win streak and a 13-game losing streak or something in the same season? The Dodgers did set a record. They had the longest losing streak for a team and the longest, like, no team had ever won and lost as many games in a row as the Dodgers did once that year. But that's baseball. Like, that, you know what I mean? That's baseball. Look, dude, like, I got to tell you, Matias, Your boy, Trent Rush, he's never going to want to come on the show again. You know the Angels have never won since that day, huh? You believe that? They never won. They were 10 games over 500. He came on. They had an off day. I said, man, but their schedule gets a lot tougher, doesn't it? Remember, we talked about it.
Oh, that was
they haven't won since, and the manager's fired.
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember he started putting the Angels in some upper echelon teams. He's like, you know, I see the Angels with these guys in this group. You know, he was ranking them. You know, we're not the Astros, but we're in the group below them. And now he definitely can say that. They're definitely in the bottom tier.
Well, let's not throw him under the bus and say he didn't big him up. You know what I mean? But one thing, I brought up their odds to make the playoffs, if you remember. I said, well, the Angels are minus 165 to make the playoffs. And I remember he said, oh, they'll make the playoffs. I remember that was the one thing. Except I didn't say no. I was like, man, like I like to see the Angels do well. I'm a Dodger fan, but, like, I'm not, like, I don't know, like, I'm not, like, put it this way. Like, in the old days, like, in the old Hershiser days and stuff like that, like, you know, it was the same thing with the Rams and Raiders. Like, it would surprise people, but it's factual. I know. I used to go to the games in Los Angeles when they played in South Central, when they played with, you know, the psycho era and stuff. I used to go every week, and... Every week, you know, unless there was like a massive game on TV I wanted to see. But I went to a lot of Raider games. All right. And it was always, you know, in those days, you'd be surprised. Like even the psycho Raider fans in the black hole and stuff. And they were nut jobs in the parking lot, like gangbangers and like everybody else in between. Dudes like driving around in like their cars with the pirate stuff. And like it was nut job. That was like, it wasn't a tailgate. It was like it's like the bar in Star Wars type of thing. But I vividly remember we'd watch Ram games and stuff. Like the Rams would be on before or after type of thing. You know what I mean? So if the Rams were on the East Coast, like it was all these Raider fans, man, and people would be like cheering, hey, let's go Rams. You know what I mean? Like, because it was like, it was an LA thing. And it was the same thing with the Dodgers and Angels. You're not going to find a lot of people. I'm not going to say I'm the biggest Dodger fan in the world because, you know, I don't have a Dodgers tattoo. I always say that. Unless you have a tattoo, you can't say you're the biggest fan, Matias, of a team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you're a big Falcon fan. You're a big Atlanta Falcon fan, but unless you have a Falcon tattoo, no. I'm sure there's somebody out there that does. He's a bigger fan than you.
You know what, though? You're right, Gabe. I agree.
Or he was just drunker than you one night.
I got some good sports tattoo on my back. I got an Everton logo on my back. I got the Neil Satis Nisi Optimum. My boys.
You have an Everton tattoo on your back?
I got their coat. I got their coat on my back. I got their mighty words. Nothing but the best is good enough.
Wow, that's hardcore, bro. I was unaware. So I can't. So if people like rip Everton, you don't take it well, huh?
I keep my composure. You know, I'm respectful.
Clam,
I told you.
You know our boy Clam Chowder?
I was stoked. It was big forever to not to get relegated.
Oh, that's why you were so happy. Because that's why you didn't tell me. Because I remember telling you, I was like, who cares? They suck. Remember, I didn't realize I was upsetting you. I remember that day, the relegation day a couple of weeks ago. Matthias all happy about it. And I told him, I said, it's a disgrace those fans ran on the field after.
And I'm all defending
them. I said, hell, what did I say? Yeah, you were like, oh, you never should have kicked them. I'm like, what did I say? I said, those fans should have been shot. Like I was like, I would have started shooting those fans for running on the pitch. I didn't realize you had the tattoo. But
oh, it's okay.
Our boy Clam Chowder, diehard Patriot fan, right? Loves, you know, Clam Chowder. Big Patriot fan, our boy Clam Chowder. And so he's at a live event. We're doing a live event, and he's there. And there's a girl, April, and she's a big Patriot fan too. So she's got at least she had a Brady jersey on, right? So Clam Chowder hates people in like Tom Brady jerseys. Like, you know what I mean? Because to him, it's like, he's the type of guy, Chowder, that'll ask you, when did you become a fan? Like, you know what I mean?
That's
like,
hilarious.
Yeah, like, who do you, like, he'll start asking if you know about old players and stuff. And, like, you know what I mean? He's really, he doesn't like the newcomers. I respect that. So, it's funny. She goes, oh, I love it. And she's dropping names left and right. So, Chowder's trying to, like, trying to show her up, kind of. And he can't do it. Like, she knows a lot. Like, she's a big sport fan. So, Can't do it. So finally, Chowder goes, oh, yeah, you really think you love them? And he pulls his arm up, Matias, and he's got the big helmet, and he's got the logo, the old thing on his arm. And without missing a beat, she just rolls her sleeve of a pro. And she's got this big pot thing. And Crab Chowder was in love at that moment, bro. He looked up. He was like, oh, my God. And he was like, that's so hot. He was all like, that's amazing. That's hardcore.
That's the greatest. That's a good story.
So I always tell people that. Because our boy Cohen, who's a guest on our show, he told me that once on the air. We used to be our update guy. He said that. He said, Gabe, I'm the biggest Bill fan in that stadium. He said, no one loves the Bills as much as I do in that stadium. I said, that's not true. I said, what about the guy? What about the brother that dresses up like Elvis with the guitar that goes every week? I said, what about Poncho that passed away? Poor guy. Rest in peace. You know what I mean? And like, unless, you know what I mean? There's people out there that dress up. You know what I mean? Like, are you face painting? Are you dressing up? Are you going to the fan parties? Are you going to, like, are you a season ticket holder? Like, are you going to the mall every time they're signing autographs? Because I'm not. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. No, you know, there's different levels of fandom, though. You know what I'm saying? That's my point. It's like, I love the Buffalo Bills, but if you tell me Josh Allen signing autographs in the mall, I'm not waiting in line for 3 hours, but there'll be thousands that will.
UFC event that I went to, when I sat down, you know, I feel like a good fan. I love the UFC. And this girl sits next to me, and she's like, I love the UFC. I'm like, yeah, so do I. And she's like, did you show up 2 hours ago? There was a whole fan fest for autographs and everything, and she was showing me pictures with this fighter. I'm like, nah, I missed that. You know, I wasn't on the same level as her.
Yeah, but I'm sure you're better than I am. Like, I'm bad.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bro, I like to roll in, Matias, at 9:30 Eastern. Last fight before the pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Except then, like, it happens where I've pushed it, like, to where it's like, oh, man, there's only two or three fights left on the card, man. I better go in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the bullpen, Derek.
Hello.
Hi. Derek, this indoor soccer is a new sport. Could you tell us something about it?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's soccer played indoors, like in a hockey rink. Sort of soccer hockey.
Boy, that's an interesting combination. Well, what are the rules?
I don't know, really. I don't care.
I see. How does your team look?
Mostly Venezuelan.
Great.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. I want a little bit of a tangent. We're all over the place here. We'll get to the phone lines in a minute, but I want to get back to Joe Maddon. And it turns out, so I said, I don't know if Trent Rush is ever going to want to join us again. I think Trent's going to join us tomorrow, actually. And I think he's doing this to reverse the curse. He's doing this to reverse the curse, as they haven't won since Trent came on the show. So I think he's thinking, I know it's been 13 days, because I remember it was a Thursday, Matias, so that's unbelievable. 13 days later, he comes on, and they've lost 13 in a row. That's just crazy, man.
Yeah, they got first. You know that if they lose tomorrow, I think that's most losses in Angel history in a row. They tied it today with 13.
I think they probably told him, hey, go on that show since you mushed us and talked about how good we were. I've done that before. We're the black cloud. We're the mush. But as far as so, There are reports here. Buster only has a story. Los Angeles owners Artie Moreno is renowned in baseball for a sudden and frantic pursuit of other free agents and copious front office changes. So basically saying that Artie Moreno is known for firing people and changing his mind. So at first glance, you would think he might have just fired him. This is Buster only, his words. So at first glance, yes, his team's 12-game losing streak looks like the perfect trigger for a volcanic boss to oust the manager. But the decision to fire Joe Maddon, replace him with an interim skipper, Phil Nevin, goes beyond Moreno, and its roots run much deeper. For months, people around baseball have been reporting unhappiness over Maddon's day-to-day decisions. So let me just say this. So for months, so what? They were unhappy for months when they were 10 games over 500? The season's only 2 months old. So what do you mean for months? This might as well have been written by Artie Moreno. So for months, it goes on to say that Maddon and the Angels, they weren't getting along, which is news to Maddon, as he said today. And I guess that gets to the gist of it here. That over the winter, quote, over the winter, Angels front office delved into the possibility of shifting Mike Trout, the face of the franchise, to either left field or right field. The idea was to save wear and tear on Trout, obviously less rutting, you know, et cetera, as, you know, playing center field is taxing. And they thought that Brandon Marsh would be a better defensive option anyways, and it would make them better. But the Angels, only reported that the Angels were sensitive about bringing this up to Mike Trout. And that Maddon basically told people in the media about this without telling Mike Trout. Like, they was like, supposedly, you know, listen, we want to speak to Trout about this, but how are we going to go about it? And then Maddon just told people in the media about it. Trout found out, they said, no, that was just, you know, sort of talk or whatever. And then it goes back to him walking in Corey Seager when the bases were loaded in the seventh game of the year this year. That's amazing. That was the seventh game of the year. And it goes back. Management had grown weary of the decisions. In mid-April, Maddon's decision to intentionally walk Corey Seager with the bases loaded in the fourth inning was a decision that raised a lot of eyebrows inside and outside the Angels organization. But as I said when we went into the break, and I did it sloppily before, but basically if you hire, it's like basically hiring like it's like hiring Metallica to play your wedding and then being surprised when they're loud, I think is the best way of putting it. So, like, what? You're that mad that Joe Maddon walked in one run once because he was trying to send a message to his team or God knows what was going on in his mind, but that's why you hired this guy, because that's what he does. And he's usually right more than he's wrong. Right? And there are others, and listen, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to cover all bases with this, as I stated. So I'm just telling you what the reports are. So Buster always reporting that this isn't new, that they were upset. And basically it seems to me they're upset that he pissed Mike Trout off, that, you know, whatever, that he outed the Mike Trout story about moving Mike Trout from center field. And that they didn't like the walk and the run. And let's just call it off what it is. They got pissed that he lost 12 games in a row. He makes a lot of money and they probably didn't like him. They probably thought he was like this crazy eccentric guy, and you know what? We should be better. So as I stated earlier, I think two things can be right at the same point in time, that the Angels were within their right. As Matthias just talked about, I mean, this tied their longest losing streak ever. No team's ever made the playoffs that's lost more than 11 games. The Dodgers lost 11 in a row. That's the longest losing streak for a team ever to make the playoffs in Major League Baseball history. So I get the Angels like getting frustrated. I don't think it was the right move, but I'm not going to call them out and say, oh, they're dumb for doing it, because I think two things could be right. I don't think Phil Nevin's going to make you guys any better, I'll tell you that. And at the same point in time, I think I get it, because when Maddon was winning before, like, he is a me sort of, I'm a genius type of guy. It's like, dude, you haven't won 17 times, all right? So there it is. Anything to add, Matthias, as far as your Angels are concerned here before we get to a Rigatoni Al?
Yeah, quick thing, Gabe. You know, something that Trent mentioned a lot, you know, when he was on, which I was surprised about, was that he said that for this season, it's playoffs or bust. So that's what they're expecting. So that's why this move is so desperate, because if Trent was on here saying, you know, it's playoffs or bust for this Angels team, who, like you said,
that's true.
You know, they didn't, you didn't think they were going to have a great season. So
well, Madden knew this,
but that's in the club.
But Madden knew this. Yeah, but the thing is, like, it's he was in the last year of the contract, so he knew this coming in, and he wasn't shying away from it, right? I mean, it's just too early, bro. In my opinion, Matias, is too early. And, because, you know, look at this, bro. All the doom and gloom right now, after all this, Matias, they have lost 13 games in a row. They are 2.5 games out of a playoff spot right now.
That's exactly why it was a bad move. And we talked about,
you know, yeah, because in other words, they could win six in a row and they're back in the playoffs. Exactly. Like they panicked.
It's a game of runs. You know, you gain momentum, you lose momentum, you win a couple games, and then you're back on the horse. And I think this was a terrible move because of that. But like we spoke about, like you were saying all day, the Angels right now, there's a bad relationship with Joe Maddon, so they got rid of him.
Yeah, like I said, he's a cocky guy. He's an arrogant guy. He makes a lot of money. And exactly, like, he's the type of guy that, and listen, Maddon was pretty forthright with The Athletic today. And he said, I never had any bad talks with anybody. Nobody ever warned me that this was coming. I was never told I needed to, you know what I mean? He said, I never had a problem with a player. I don't have a problem with a clubhouse. He said, the dugout was fine. He said, we just were in a losing streak. But let's be real. I mean, you know he's not an Angel. And also, you know, and I will buy into the belief that if he's sitting in a room and there's a couple other, like, scout guys and younger guys in him, and people, and quite frankly, too, another thing is Maddon didn't get hired by this general manager that's there now. So that's another case in point. So I imagine that basically the GM just said, you know what, this guy doesn't respect me or thinks he's smarter than me anyways, and I'm going to fire him, so I might as well just do it. I can see it. You know, it's always hard, Matias, like, to really judge. Because another thing is, I don't know, we're not in the clubhouse, right? For all we know, man, maybe Mike Trout doesn't like him. And, you know, it became an issue. Like, I don't know, right? We'll ask Trent Rush tomorrow. Let's bring in Rigatoni Al right now. Squeeze a phone call in here before Larry Beal steps up and in. What's going on, Rigatoni Al?
Hey, Gabe. I'm sorry. This might get a little dark. I hear you guys talking about the Angels. I think Joe Maddon dodged a bullet. This whole Tyler Skaggs thing, I think there's a lot more to drop on that. I think that's being swept under the rug, that whole story. And I'd like more information to come out on that, because I think the whole organization let him down. I think, like the Texans, that organization needs to be looked at. I'm sorry, Matias. I know that's a team.
Well, he caught me off guard with this, but to be honest, didn't see this coming. But I'm not, you know what? I don't think it had anything to do with that. I don't think I have anything to do with that. Listen, even with the Houston Texans, that's a little weird with the non-disclosure stuff and lockers and security people having them with them and stuff. That's a little crazy. But listen, we're gonna Tony. I'm a grown man. You know, not to everyone, but age-wise. But my point is, I've seen this before. I've been around Major League Baseball teams. I've covered Major League Baseball teams. I've been around Major League Baseball deaths before. And you can't control, bro, what a player is doing. And
Matt Harvey
also
was just suspended 60 games for giving him drugs. He testified.
Yeah, but all this. Yeah, but what do you want? Like, so what do you want people to do? It's a civil thing. Like, people. And that's another thing. What? You want to put this guy?
The doctor was giving them out like they're candy.
So what? You've never had a friend get you something before? Every Major League Baseball team, Al, has somebody that gets things for the players, bro. Right?
I'm not paid by a Major League Baseball team to do that. That's
if you want these guys showing up and being able to play, they're gonna have to get the things that they need to get through 162 game season. Thanks, Rigatoni Al.
Okay, I have some picks for a golf tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This guy, an attorney? Jesus. Look at this. Larry Beal next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're breaking it down on Sirius XM channel 159. You know how we do it, kicking it on a mightier 1090 ESPN radio up and down the coast of 50,000 watt, the juggernaut. Let's send it to the Bay Area right now. Larry Beal, anchor, KGO TV in San Francisco, breaks it down for us. Let's talk NBA Finals. First things first, actually, the ratings are in for game one. Very impressive. I saw 22.5% of the market. Of in the Bay Area, San Francisco actually beat Boston. Boston only checked in at like 19%. They peaked at like 13 million. So there's a lot of excitement for these finals, but it's been a strange start to these finals, hasn't it been?
Well, you just have some unexpected things going on. I mean, Klay Thompson, I figure, is going to shoot a lot better going forward. I'm not sure whether, you know, Draymond is going to be in a tag team match before or after the game, but there's going to be, I anticipate, after the last game, a lot of wrestling going on. And we'll see what the, you know, the Jays bring for Boston, as well as Marcus Smart. I think I just kind of have a feeling that if you look at the difference between game one and game two, Draymond, where he clearly had no impact or little impact on the game in the opener and admitted as such. And then in game two, he decided, okay, from the opening jump, I'm attacking Al Horford here and ripping the ball away from him. Marcus Smart had a really quiet game two, and I have a feeling he is going to try to do the same thing in game three that Draymond did in game two. So we'll see. You know, a little bit of inconsistency so far in the series. You know, Tatum hot game one or not hot and then gets hot in game two. The only person that's really been consistent so far is Steph Curry. And if he keeps averaging 30 points a game, roughly, I think it's 31.5, and the Warriors win the championship, Steph will get the coveted trophy that has eluded him. That is the MVP of the finals. So a lot to unfold here in the next few games.
I think, you know, I think there's cautious optimism if you're both teams, but also there's such a slim margin of error for both teams as well. So as you mentioned, Draymond, he was clearly, you know, listen, Draymond was just, you know, that was vintage Draymond the other night, and the Boston Celtics did have a hard time dealing with it. As you mentioned, they're going to counterpunch now going back home. What I'm fascinated about is how the league handles Draymond, how the officials will handle Draymond. You know, you've seen this before. Referees will be the first to admit it. I mean, the crowd reactions, they can react to the moment. I don't think Draymond can push it to the end, to the cliff, to the edge as much as he did in the Bay Area tomorrow night. That's my opinion. What's your take on this?
I think it really depends on who's officiating the game. That to me is going to be key, because, you know, if you get some crews that really like to blow the whistle a lot, and the officiating, look, has been poor, I would say, throughout these playoffs for a lot of teams, just really frustrated, and you don't get the consistency from game to game. And so, the league has to do something about this. I mean, that's, to me, that in the offseason, it's bad. It has been poor, and they need to address it in a meaningful way. But, you know, as to this series, we'll see who's the crew chief tomorrow. And, you know, if it's Scott Foster, you know, probably both teams will be on edge a little bit. But, you know, if it's some of the others, I don't even want to name names. I actually thought Zach Zarba's crew did a good job in the last game, because, first of all, they knew Draymond had one technical when he got into the scuffle with Jaylen Brown. That was nothing. I mean, it's just the guys playing hard and, you know, getting in each other's face and getting tangled up and all that. What now passes for flagrant and everybody just gets, you know, up in arms, years ago was just play on. There's not even a foul call. So I think there's just a hypersensitivity to all of this. You want physicality, but you want – there's got to be a line in the sand where you can't go too far, especially if it comes – like to me, the play on which Gary Payton II got injured with the Memphis series with Dylan Brooks, that's a dangerous play. That is a really dangerous play with a guy up in the air. As far as, you know, Draymond closing out and Jalen kicks his foot out a little and they get tangled up and they're put that's nothing. That's to me. So, you know, if they're going to make it so tight that everything is being called, I mean, you'll know early because the Warriors like to run a lot of high ball screens. If, you know, they come out and suddenly we're getting every moving pick is going to be called and then they're going to like really tighten it down. I think it's going to mess up the game because then guys don't really know, all right, well, what are we allowed to do here? Because the first two games were totally different. So we'll see.
And that's exactly what's been causing Boston so many problems. You know they're going to be aggressive. I agree as far as Zach Zarber is concerned. I think he's arguably the best ref in the league right now. At least he doesn't try to make it about him. You know, I've always had a problem. Listen, Foster is Foster. He is who he is. Same with Malloy. Malloy has an attitude. You know, to me, I like Zarbra and I like Mark Davis. I think Mark Davis is another guy that most coaches get along with and most players get along with. But I do buy in. I've said this a long, you know, I don't know why Zarbra's not doing this game. I don't know why he's not doing that game. But with all that being stated, there's still players to play this game. And Klay Thompson, yeah. One thing I don't understand about Klay here, and you know, there's the big debate, everybody, can they win unless he does more and stuff? And well, I think they can. You know what I mean? As I stated, I don't think either team is great. They're both good, but they can find ways to win, and you only got to get to four here. But with that being stated, Larry, what I don't get is why doesn't he just start taking it to the rack a little bit more? I know it's cliched, but he's 1-for-8 from three the other night, 4-for-15 overall in the first two games. There's been times that he can, and I don't know, is it a health issue in which he's not confident enough to just take it to the rack and lay it in and go to the free throw line, because he seems very hesitant to do it. He'd rather just take up take the shot and they're not falling.
Well, he did drive a couple of times and missed layups. And
yeah, and he got blocked once, I think, too. You're right.
That's exactly, you know, what I was going to get to is, you know, one of the other X factors here is what is the situation with Robert Williams' knee? If he's in the game and is active and able to do Robert Williams things, he changes everything for the Warriors, because in the previous series, it was Dallas, and that was basically a freeway to the basket. Once you beat your initial defender, there was nobody that was going to block your shot or really do much of anything. You see Williams there, and suddenly the idea of, oh, I'm going to take it and I'm going to throw it down, well, maybe not. Maybe I had just thought to pull up right here about 9 feet away, because I don't want to have to deal with that guy. So I think that's part of it. But also, you know, if you remember a few years ago where, you know, Klay had, 63 on 11 dribbles. He's a catch and shoot player. He's not Steph Curry, take you off the dribble and then pull up for a jumper. He's been trying to almost force his way into that and will the shot to go in. I think he'd be better served coming off the screen. You know, you hit the curl, catch the ball and just go up, as opposed to probing and trying to create and do stuff. He's not a great ball handler. So I'm not sure. Now, I agree with you that when your jumper clearly is not falling, you have to do something else. Klay actually has a really good post-up game that the Warriors don't use a lot because they like their motion offense. But I would go to that if the threes are not falling. And again, he can drive to the basket against some of the Celtic defenders depending on how they switch. But you know, to your initial point, Klay can struggle the whole series. I can't remember the last time if the series would go seven that he would have seven consecutive bad games. That's just not Klay Thompson. So we're all waiting for the big Klay game. But you know what? Even if he doesn't have that, if Jordan Poole goes off, that's fine. You know, you could win a lot of games with Steph scoring 30 and Poole getting 25 and then everybody else chipping in. So there's a whole, you know, a variety of different ways, just as the Celtics. It doesn't have to be Tatum and Brown necessarily. We saw Al Horford get 26 in the opener. Marcus Smart can get you 25. So I think these teams are evenly matched talent-wise, and it's just, you know, who can adjust better, who's feeling it, who's not feeling it, and there's so many variables. Even just the presence of Gary Payton II now as a dogged defender creates problems for the Celtics. There's so many things here. I mean, we could do this for hours and hours and hours.
I love that we've got about a minute left, and we appreciate your time, Larry. Oh. But Gary Payton Jr. Story is unbelievable. People think, wow, his father and was given to him and stuff. It was anything but. In fact, this guy actually applied for the job to be the video coordinator of the Golden State Warriors, which is amazing that he was ready to do it for real, real. Like, he said, I want to work for you guys, and I want to hang around. And he said, I was sort of hoping I'd get a 10-day contract and a shot, but he was willing to be the video coordinator and just work for the organization. Great story. And I think he's driven by his father a lot. I saw an interview with him. It was a great interview in which they asked, are you more like your mother or your father? And he didn't even hesitate. He said, a lot like my mother. She's a fighter. And he said, I sort of grew up being told I wasn't good enough, including by my father. And there was no laugh after about it, like a joke or anything. And he said, I have something to prove all the time, and he really does have that chip on his shoulder. Hard not to like a kid like that. So, Larry, we'll get you out of here. I'm going to throw it out here. You know the numbers, but Boston 6-0 straight up and against the spread for the bettors out there coming off a loss in the playoffs. I think we're going back to the Bay tied up at 2. So I don't know. Does it happen tomorrow? Yeah. Do they split? What's your opinion on this before we get you out?
Exactly the same. I don't know. I kind of have a sense of Boston's going to come out with more force tomorrow and maybe win game 3. But I see the same thing. I would be surprised if it was anything other than 2-2 coming back to the Bay Area. I said Warriors in 7 going into this, so I'm just going to stick with that for the hell of it. But, who knows? I mean, we'll see what the crowd is like tomorrow. How do the Warriors respond, the role players, et cetera, et cetera. Jordan Poole, does he freak out when Boston goes crazy, or does he thrive in the moment? And same thing for some of the Celtics. Peyton Pritchard really hasn't done a heck of a lot, but, the role players typically play better at
exactly.
home. Exactly. So we'll see. If it starts knocking down threes all over the place, and the Warriors suddenly have to defend a guy who, was very low at the bottom of their scouting report coming into the series. And, we'll see. They're, who knows who the X Factor will be? Maybe it'll be whoever is the crew chief on this officiated crew. That could be the X Factor. I don't know. We'll see.
Larry Beal, KGO TV, San Francisco. Larry, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Take care. Enjoy game 3.
Countdown to tip-off is on the late-night anger management class. We're breaking it down, as we mentioned, 6-0 straight up, 6-0 against the spread are the Boston Celtics coming off a loss. As I stated to Larry earlier, I think that I'd be cautiously optimistic if I was either team, but I'd also be a little bit concerned. Like I said, there's no room for error for either of these teams moving forward, but it looks like we're in it for the long haul here. All right, the late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Warning, level 3. Thanks to Larry Beal for joining us. Andrew McKinnis, Steve Merrill, the Twisted Tuesday. Listen, we didn't get to all the college football win totals I wanted to, but one of them that jumps off the screen at me, are the USC Trojans. I hate to be so public about this, but the thing is, these numbers just came out, and I'm seeing right now 9.5 at minus 150. Nine and a half at minus 150. So in other words, we can lose. We got to go 10-2. This is the USC Trojan schedule. They open up. They host Rice in week one. In week two, they go to Stanford. Stanford. This team has won. This team hasn't won more than four games in the last 3 years. All right. Then they play Fresno State. Actually, Fresno aren't terrible. All right. So Fresno, you know, Fresno are sort of one of those sleeper games. They do go to Corvallis in week four. They host Arizona State in week five. They host Washington State in week six. Washington State are a sleeper to some, but whatever. Week seven, they'll lose at Utah. They're not losing to Arizona. Arizona's win total is 2.5. They're not going to lose against Cal, a home game. Then they host Colorado, and they host Notre Dame. And they play UCLA at the Rose Bowl. Whatever. This is an 11-1. Like, it would be hard. Put it this way. If Lincoln Riley's going to give, I need a couple of years and all this stuff. Bro, if you don't go 11-1, 10-2 at worst with this, then you're already a failure. There's my hot take on the way out. But bet the over 9.5. Matthias, quickly, what's your pick tomorrow? Celtics or Warriors?
Gabe, Celtics. Celtics take this game, and then the Warriors take the next one.
All right, that was quick. Good job. I know it's almost too obvious and too good to be true, but it seems that way. Tune in at 6 o'clock Eastern, SiriusXM Channel 159. We'll break it down. Countdown to tip-off. We'll get into all the player props and everything. As I stated, I hate to give you such a public pick, but I'm surprised it's not 10.5 when you look at USC's schedule. Other than that, you're on your own later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.